Thank you, Jamie and Susan. When songs are played just with instruments and no voices, it's relaxing just to sit back and close your eyes and just let it envelop you. And just to know that God is there through his song and through the gifts that he has given to others who can do the things that to play the instruments that they play. For a text this morning, I'd like to read the first chapter of Luke. It's very lengthy. And throughout the week, I've been trying to come up with a text and different things, but over and over and over again, it kept coming to me that first chapter of Luke and the birth of John the Baptist and Mary becoming great with child with our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is a very important part of the message of Christmas. It is the part, this is the preceding, I guess if you will, of Jesus' birth, what took place before. In the first four verses of this chapter, Luke describes how that, and I'm paraphrasing here, but how that he not only wanted to be sure that all of the things that were written were true, but he took it upon himself to research them and to make sure that there was no false teaching, if you will, in writing this to a person by the name of Theophilus. He wanted to make sure that the message that this entire book or this entire gospel was written was true. It's not that he didn't believe what the people had written or what the messengers had said, but he wanted to look for himself because it was that important, as it should be to us. Because there are times where we will hear things that just don't quite sound right. And the only way that we're going to get them straight is by going back into this book and see what God says. So beginning with the first chapter, and I'm not going to read through the whole thing, I will be reading through the whole thing, but I'm not going to read it all first. But beginning with chapter 1 and verse 1, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus." Verse 4. "That thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." As I said, Luke wanted to make sure that everything that was written here was right and proper. Luke was a very educated man, but he understood who God was, and he understood who the Savior was and the salvation that the Savior brought. Now he continues on. "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abra, and his wife was the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth." One thing I would ask you as we're reading this, don't just hear the words, but put yourself into it. Put yourself as you were, as if you might have been during that time, and to understand just what was taking place. Because keep in mind, these things that were happening in a time where the Old Testament was transitioning to the New. And this was the beginning of it. And the things that were taught and the things that were revealed through by the angels and through the Spirit were things that would change the course of the world and how it believed. As I was reading this earlier in the week, as I was continuing to read, it almost seemed as though, I guess really no other way to explain it, say it, is that there's just something came over me to where I was there. And the Spirit of God was showing me what He had done so that we might have eternal life. He goes on and says, "And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken into years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course," in that particular verse, when the priests were given, they were assigned duties and times that they would be in the temple. And each were given specific duties. And they were there for a certain period of time, and then another one would come in and he would take over. So Zacharias was in the temple and he was performing the duties that were assigned to him. And according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of the incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell on him. He got scared. But then the angel said to him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. And your wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and you shall call his name John." Which that name is very significant, which we'll see later on in the text. "And you shall have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb." Didn't have to wait. But the Holy Ghost was upon him even before he was born. "And many of the children of Israel shall he turn the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zechariah said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years." Kind of a familiar story, isn't it? It happened the same way back in the Old Testament. Abraham and Sarah. The angel came there and said, "I'm going to give you a child." And what did Sarah do? She laughed. She thought it was funny. But you see, with God, nothing is impossible. With God, absolutely nothing is outside of his domain. All things are possible. Zacharias and Elizabeth were not chosen just by chance. As it says back in verse 6, "And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless." They weren't chosen by chance. They were chosen because they were righteous people. I certainly can't blame Zacharias, speaking of myself, thinking, you know, going back, and he was old. His wife was old, well past childbearing years. I don't know that I would have been able to believe it right away. You see, God knows these things, and he has his way of taking care of those types of things, which you'll see. But he didn't just say, well, okay, you don't believe me, forget it. I'm just going to go somewhere else, or it's not going to happen. No, he doesn't work that way. In verse 19, and the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stands in the presence of God, and I am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And this is how God took care of Zacharias' doubt. And believe me, it would have made a believer out of me. And be told, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. You see, no one can stand in the way of God's plan. It doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter if Satan himself puts himself in front of God's plan. He is not going to prevail. If God has a plan, he will work it out. And it will happen the way he wants it to happen, not to the way we think it should happen. So Zacharias was struck dumb, couldn't speak. But it was not going to be a forever thing. And as the angel said, that you will be this way until all of the things that I am about to tell you will come to fruition. I'm paraphrasing, of course. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. He was there inside that area burning those incense longer than normal. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. For he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. Kind of using hand signals. Can't talk. This must have said something to those people that were there, because he was talking fine when he went in there. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. As I said before, that when a person in Zacharias' position, they were assigned a certain amount of time that they were to be there. So when this time was over, he went home. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she had her and hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus saith the Lord, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men." I'm sure having to be in advanced years and walking around with the advanced signs of having a child, there would have been a lot of talking going on. A lot of tongue wagging and a lot of lips flapping back and forth, wondering what's happening, wondering what went on. That's human nature. So she hid herself for those 5 months. And she says, "Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men." And on the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now comes the time where Mary is visited. To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. I can imagine she probably was wondering, okay, what's going on here? You know, it was not uncommon for angels to come. They usually spoke through the prophets. They would visit the prophets. But in this case, an angel came to Mary. Verse 29, and when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind. Look around. okay, what does this mean? What does this greeting mean? Why is he coming to me and saying these things to me? And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Here again, God didn't just choose anybody. He didn't just go out and grab somebody off the street and said, "Okay, you're going to be the one that's going to bear my son." No. He chose somebody that found favor, that was favorable in his sight, the same as Zacharias and Elizabeth were. "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." That alone, those last couple words, "and of his kingdom there shall be no end." The devil thought he was ending it when Jesus died on the cross. It didn't happen. And I'm sure that there are some of those today on earth today that think that they can do it. It's not going to happen. "Of his kingdom there shall be no end." Mankind and anything that he tries to do, and with all of his silly little power that he thinks he has, cannot disrupt God's plan. "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing that I not know a man?" She wasn't saying it in doubt, as Zacharias had done, but she was saying just a simple fact. "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born in thee shall be called the Son of God." What would you ladies here, what would you think if an angel visited you and told you those things? Be a little scary, I think. I know if God came to me and started telling me that he wanted me to do something in this magnitude. Okay, Lord, but boy, you're going to have to help me. And I'm sure that was Mary's prayer. He continues on and says, "Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible." It kind of reiterates what I've already said. With God, nothing is impossible. I've had things in my own life where situation seems just, this is it. There's nothing we can do. And yet God comes up with a way of taking care of it, and you look back on it afterwards and just marvel that, boy, that came out of nowhere. And that was taken care of so fully and completely that there was no question as to where it came from. "And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." What an attitude. "And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord." Not putting herself on a pedestal. Not putting herself up high and saying, "Well, okay, you've chosen me, so I must be somebody special." No. "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Okay, you said it, I will do it. And isn't that what our attitude ought to be when God has something for us to do? Isn't that what our attitude should be when God gives an opportunity, rather than walking away? "All right, Lord, I'll do it, but you're going to have to show me how." Giving him the authority over our actions. That's what it is. Not thinking inside of this feeble little thing that we have up here, but letting God have the authority and allowing him to lead us to do what it is that needs to be done. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country and with haste into the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth, or saluted Elizabeth, the King James says. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe in her womb, or leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. John the Baptist at that point, even though not being born, the Holy Ghost that was in the Holy Spirit that was living in him recognized his Savior. But not only with him, but also with Elizabeth. I've heard it said before from people that the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit did not come into being until the day of Pentecost. Well, how do you explain this? The Holy Spirit has been around from the beginning. But the Holy Spirit came unto mankind, unto believers, at the day of Pentecost. Dwelt in the believer. And as Jesus says in his 16th chapter of John, the latter part of it, before you prayed to me, and then I would pray to the Father for what you wanted. But he said, the time will come where you can pray to God directly in my name. That's when the Holy Spirit came to them. And the Holy Spirit is living inside of each and every one of us also. Why? Because we believe and we trust in what he has done for us. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? There was a spirit of, trying to think of the proper term, that she did not think of herself more highly than she ought, I guess is how I could say it. But she recognized who Jesus was, and she recognized who Mary was, and that Mary was bearing her Lord. For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation, of thy greeting, sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance or a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. And then Mary says, my soul doth magnify the Lord. And she continues on, and I believe this section here was written down as a song that Mary sang. And she says, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. And he hath showed strength with his arm, and he hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty. He hath helped his servants Israel in the remembrance of his mercy. As he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. She stayed with Elizabeth for an additional 3 months. It does not say that she was there when John was born, but she was there for that 3 months. And now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy on her, and they rejoiced with her. And remember how it said in the first part of this text, I believe it was in verse 14, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. She was told this 9 months before it was going to happen. in the first part of the 16th chapter of John, and actually latter part of the 15th chapter also. We talked about it in Bible study that Jesus told his disciples all of these things so that when they would begin to happen, all the things that were going to happen to them, when they would happen, they would be able to think, hey, he told us this was going to happen. He told us that this was going to take place. They were, in a sense, being forearmed. But also more than that, it is a proof or an example of who Christ is, because he knows what is going to happen. And he knew, and through the angel told Mary, or told Elizabeth, or Zacharias, I should say, of what was going to happen. Here we see that it did, just as he said. And Mary abode, or no, kind of running backwards here now. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed grace and mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father, which was a very common practice at those times. Children were named in the lineage of where they were born. But Elizabeth said, no, his name shall be John. So they said, well, okay, this is what Elizabeth does. Let's go ask Zacharias. Let's see what he says. And we'll kind of let him overrule her. And they made signs to his father how he should be called, and he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, his name is John, and they marveled all. Just wasn't normal. This just wasn't normal at all as to naming him something outside of the family lineage. Look in verse 64. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. He believed, and he did as God instructed him. And fear came on all that dwelt around him. And all these sayings were were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we may be delivered out of his hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our lives. You see, this is what happens when God is in us. This is what happens when that Holy Spirit is allowed to speak. And you prophesy and you say things that God wants you to say. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness, and in shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. There are others that had gone into the desert. I'm thinking of Moses and the Apostle Paul, which come to mind. But in that, it means that going out into the desert, it means that to go out and be with God and commune with him. to go out and allow God to teach us in a quiet area, in a place where there are no distractions. There aren't anything to come up and to say and to take our attention away from what God wants us to know. All of the things that go on in our earthly lives, the things that we have to deal with, all of those things are put aside. And we are out there alone and by ourselves and allowing God to speak to us and to teach us. That's what he wants. So in this Christmas season, as we come up to this time where there's so much hubbub and so much going on, let's not forget why it's called Christmas. Not that we would, but there are others that do. We were at the, Kirk and I were at the lumberyard the other day and yesterday, and Kirk told the gal Merry Christmas. The gal looked at him and says, I say Happy Holidays. I told Kirk, if that had been me, I might have looked at her and said, I feel sorry for you. You see, for those who do not understand what Christmas is all about, for those who do not understand why the word Christ is in Christmas, they don't have a lot of hope. Trusting in themselves, trusting in man, trusting in the things that man will do. Just look around. How's that been going? As Christians, we need to proclaim that message. Not only a Merry Christmas, but above all, a blessed Christmas. For that is more important than Mary. May he add his blessings to these words. In Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, now we ask that you would bless us and keep us, that you would make your face shine upon us and be gracious unto us, that you would lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.